This is a Collider.com audio interview.
You won't want to do with it. That's different from what you've done before.
Well, I never really felt I went away, you know, because I've written all of the movies and produced them all, and certainly provided services above and beyond the average producer on the 2 and 3. You know, I was on set for most of the films and called action and cut a lot of times and did all that good stuff. And so, you know, I was excited about the fourth movie, I guess conceptually, because what I thought we should do is we should try and make a conceptual jump like Terminator did to T2. So like it was still the Terminator franchise, but it was something kind of bigger and grander. And, you know, that was our idea with this Resident Evil, was to make that kind of conceptual jump. It'll still be Resident Evil. It'll have all the really cool Resident Evil things in it, the characters from the game, the dogs that you've seen, but, you know, the dogs on a new level. So it's kind of like these dogs are like a massive improvement on the dogs before. Mm-hmm. I think some of the sets we're building, the locations we're using, a giant, you know, the again, like a big conceptual jump to try and make the movie kind of a bigger and a grander event than the first trilogy was.
Was there a particular game? I mean, it seems like there's an aura of Resident Evil 5 over this one. Were you particularly surprised when you started playing that game? I mean, you're obviously a huge fan.
There were some surprises, actually, because I was writing the script before the game came out. Then the game came out, and it had huge elements that were already in the screenplay. And, you know, talking to Capcom's so funny. It's like every time I go to Japan and meet Capcom, it is like going to see the Umbrella Corporation. And, you know, because you ask them things and they're very, they won't give you a straight answer about anything. And it's like I kind of knew they would tell me that Wesker was in the game, kind of, but they would never really confirm it. And then, you know, sure enough, he was the main villain, and he was the main villain in the movie as well. And completely by coincidence, a large chunk of this movie takes place on a big ship. And there was the ship from Resident Evil 5. You know, we had the dogs in already. You know, we had an awful lot of stuff that they had already kind of put into Resident Evil 5. And then what I did was I just did a whole big pass on the script to kind of bring it more in line with the imagery from the latest game, because I thought the latest game was fantastic. I mean, I thought it kind of reinvented the video game franchise. And I wanted to take a lot of it, frankly, kind of like steal from it and put it in the movie. So there's a whole fight scene that we're about to shoot that we start next week with Ali Larter and Wentworth Miller, which is taken almost, well, is taken shot by shot from Resident Evil 5. We're kind of basically all the heads of department have a play out of the game, and it's where Chris and is fighting Wesker and it's Shiva, right, from the Resident Evil 5 game, I think. Anyway, the two of them are fighting Wesker, and we're basically, instead of the character from the game, we're putting Claire in there. So it's brother and sister fighting against Wesker. And what's great in the game is it's one continuous shot where the camera rotates around Wesker fighting the two of them. He just kicks their asses. But they never cut, which, of course, you can do in animation. So it's a bit more difficult in live action. So what we're going to do is we're probably going to shoot the fight in 10 different segments, and then seam it together in visual effects. So the finished effect will be as though the camera never stops rotating around. And it's really cool, because you go around them and then you kind of like go underneath them, and it's going to be a nightmare, and everyone's tearing their hair out on set trying to figure out how to do it. Cool. Especially with the 3D rigs, which are huge. I mean, you've probably noticed that. It's a very different experience shooting in 3D, because the camera rigs are so large that everything we've become accustomed to in the last 10 years as filmmakers, which cameras getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and you can just throw them on your shoulder and stick them in a car and do whatever you want. You can't do any of that now, because you're forced to kind of put things on dolly and track and cranes. So it's kind of like a throwback to an old school way of filmmaking. So for this kind of very flexible shoot, we're having to kind of like reinvent the wheel a little bit.
And in terms of the story, how do you reconceptualize the Resident Evil kind of movie for 3D with this change you have to make in the way you shoot it?
I wrote a script that I felt kind of emphasized depth, and because I think that's very suitable to 3D, obviously. But I kind of feel like I've always directed movies a little like they were ride films anyway. I mean, I've used that term a lot in the films I've directed from Event Horizon onwards. You know, there's a scene in Event Horizon where the characters go through this tunnel that rotates. Mm-hmm. And that was taken directly off a ride at Universal Studios where it fucked with your equilibrium. Mm-hmm. So I've been very into that, and I've often referred to kind of ride films or the Back to the Future ride and things like that because they're very immersive. So I've always tried to do camera moves that I felt were immersive, and so I think as a filmmaker, my style of filmmaking is very well suited to 3D anyway. So it's not like I'm having to change a huge amount the way I shoot to work in 3D. I mean, I think you could probably dimensionalize some of my movies and they would make very good 3D films because they're full of kind of like, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, you know, tentacles sure. coming out and, you know, lots of depth. And
mm-hmm. At what point did you realize you wanted to get back in the director's chair for Resident Evil?
To tell the truth, I've kind of always wanted to be there. It's been a very difficult decision for the last two when I couldn't. It was always kind of clashing schedules. You know, I had the opportunity to work with Aliens and Predators when Resident Evil 2 was being made, and it was for two different studios. It was for Fox and Sony. And, you know, they don't care about one another. They just want their movies. So it was very difficult to delay one. And so I had to make a very painful decision to kind of step away from directing the second movie. And with the third movie, it was the same. You know, I had this movie, Death Race, that was a passion project for me that I'd been around for, like, I had it in development for almost 10 years. And suddenly it was kind of igniting. And again, I found it very difficult to direct both movies, although on the last Resident Evil, you know, I was on set for pretty much every single day of principal photography. And on this film, I was fortunate that, hopefully, touch wood, my next movie is this version of Three Musketeers that we're trying to fast track right now. And it's for exactly the same company that Resident Evil is. So I've been fortunate that I don't have any clashes right now. So, and as soon as that became apparent, you know, I jumped into the director's chair. They didn't have to wait to put my name on the back of it.
That's going to be 3D as well, right?
Yes.
And do you feel
I'm a big 3D convert.
You feel like you're not going to go back now that you're...
I don't think so. I really believe in 3D. I mean, I really think it is the kind of wave of the future for cinema. And, you know, I certainly as a filmmaker feel like, you know, it's like you're directing a talkie for the first time when talkies are the new thing. I mean, it's a really exciting medium to work in. And you really feel like you're on the cutting edge because all the camera equipment you take for granted doesn't exist for 3D. So kind of all the cranes with all the stabilized heads, they don't work on 3D because they're all built for lightweight camera packages. As soon as you kind of put two cameras together and all the other crap that they need and the cabling to go back to the computers, we've literally, the cranes on this movie, they break after a couple of days. You can see them, they're kind of juddering, and then all the gears burn out. So we're having to build our own heads, build our own cranes. There's no such thing as motion control that exists for 3D, again, because motion control, all the gearing is for lightweight cameras. So we're having to build our own motion control rigs. We did a lot of helicopter shooting in LA and also in Alaska, which looks fantastic, but we had terrible problems because the helicopters weren't built to carry the weight of two cameras. And so we'd have real problems with the helicopters, kind of like the pilots going, "Fuck, I can't fly this thing and get you the shot you want." You know, so it's been very, very difficult. But I think, you know, the plus side is, you know, you're getting something very, very exciting.
Were you a fan of 3D in games?
Yeah, absolutely. I think 3D across the board is, you know, both in kind of the home format and the cinema it's going to be very big.
Were you a fan of, talking to me, unless you said you'd never seen a 3D movie prior to being involved with this, were you a fan of 3D in cinema, like going back to the...
I saw Space Hunter 3D.
Space Hunter.
And,
House of Wax or anything like that?
I saw all those old movies, absolutely, with the red and the blue glasses. Mm-hmm. But I think they were all very gimmicky, and I think the difference is now that people are trying to make more kind of like serious mainstream movies that are not just kind of like, they're not kind of William Castle kind of gimmick films.
Is there a 3D movie that you think best makes use of the technology now? Like someone said Up, I think.
1 minute warning.
I mean, Up was, I think what was great about, because I've pretty much seen every 3D movie made in anticipation for making this film. What was great about Up and also about Coraline, Coraline, I think, is probably my favorite 3D movie because it uses both negative and positive space really, really well. You know, Cameron is very public about. He feels like positive space, you shouldn't use it. Everything should be negative space. It should be a window into a world where you kind of like peer into another world. And then there are filmmakers who have done 3D movies that can't get enough positive space, and can't get enough crap kind of poking out the camera at you, out of the screen. And I kind of feel like the best movies, for me anyway, so far, combine a combination of both. And Coraline, I thought, was really good because it used a lot of negative space. So you knew you were watching a 3D movie, but it had like six or seven big moments where it used the positive space, where stuff actually came out of the screen. And because it was used in a sparing way, it was very, very impactful.
I was wondering if that was what we could expect in this as well, similar use of positive space.
That's what I'm trying to do. But, you know, I'm me, so I probably won't be able to contain myself to seven or eight big moments. You know, there'll be. But, you know, we are, Paco, who's our stereographer, who kind of keeps an eye on that all the time. I mean, he'll tell you, we have been very restrained in the use of 3D at certain times. So it's not always kind of in your face, but then, you know, we do definitely have some big 3D moments.
Right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.